And I will be sharing with us a very important ingredient for leadership. You know, sometimes people can have the position, but they don't have the leadership. You can have the position. I remember I belonged to a group of people. I won't give too much away. Every time there's a problem, oh, come and say, what do we now do? I wasn't the one occupying the leadership. But it was, so what do we do? So a man can have the position, right? But he's not actually the one leading. Because it's a very important ingredient for leadership. So, so important. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 6, well, before we go there, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, when Paul says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, Paul says he desires a good work. A bishop is a person who oversees other people. A bishop is more than a title. Some bear title, but that's all to it. But a bishop is an episcopos, somebody who looks over others. Or he looks, over others. That would be the right one. A bishop. The same word is also used for an elder, also a pastor. And everybody under the sound of my voice, we are all pastors. Pastors, they may not call you pastor. This can be judged a very strange place where you find somebody who is called pastor is submitting to somebody who is called brother because they don't mean anything title-wise. The brother is the pastor of the pastor. And I know some of us have changed it from brother to pastor. It's fine. You couldn't see yourself calling your pastor brother. I understand, but I won't change it. Praise the Lord. There's a man we all look at called Brother Hagin. That brother is a high office in Christ. That brother talks. Some call him Reverend Talks. I tried to call him Reverend now, but he's not flowing. He's Bro Talks. Or Great Toki, as we call him. But the most important thing is what you really do. I'm sure you've seen some people that you used to call pastor in university. They say, pastor. And there's nothing there really. It looks more like past. Oh. So really it's not the title. I keep saying to people that one of the things you have to deal with is titles. Imagine if some almost 30 years ago next year, because this year, last week it was 29 years that I was ordained to be called Reverend. Imagine if I started calling myself Reverend. By now I'll have been a high priest. Reverend brother. People like titles. Sometimes when they don't call them that title, they feel offended. Who's your brother? So the officer is a function of an overseer, somebody who looks over others. So the bishop must be blameless, husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, nor striker, nor filthy, give you a filthy looker, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that rules well his own house. We're there the other time, right? Having his children in subjection with all gravity, for if a man knows not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? You cannot ignore how you rule your house. You can't say, it's different from church. I know it's different from church, but it's important for church. Is that clear? But let's focus on verse 6. Not a novice. So you can't put a novice, you can't say because somebody likes your message. You know, some of us say, the person likes my message. Not a novice, Paul says. The novice here, from the Greek of it, is a newly planted something. Now, people have assumed that a novice here has to be a new convert. Not necessarily. It's somebody who is new to church. You can't say someone is new, and people do it today. They just have someone who likes their message, likes their ministry, and say, can you lead one of our centers? And the guy says, yeah, I love the message. And they put them there. It's not working like that. You don't put people you haven't trained. That's what Paul is saying here. Not a novice, the word nephotus, N-E-O-P-H-U-T-O-S, means newly planted. It's taken from a young, it's just new here. Not a novice, lest being littered with pride, he falls into the condemnation of the devil. So that means we have to look at your experience before we say you should handle something. I know sometimes we love when people are excited at the work of the ministry. There are people, for example, in church that I will come here. Why are you not a cell leader? Because our theology in this ministry, which is the Bible theology, is that every believer is a church planter. That's our belief. So if you've been here for 5-6 years, what are you doing? Well, sir, I just want to settle some things. Like they say in Nigeria, while I know the finish, there's no time you ever settle everything. Your problem now is that you are not dedicated to this. So, why I called them? So I'm going to have you work with you to see that you take this seriously. Because you have enough years under your belt to be able to be given responsibility. So, which means that when people, just like the writer of Hebrews says, the time you ought to be teachers, you need someone again to teach you. You've been around for long. But the core reason why this is important, go to Acts 6. I asked you to open it there first. Acts 6, where they wanted to choose what you can call pastors in training or associate pastors. We call them deacons today. And look at the characteristic and pay attention to something very consistent in this choice. It's very, very consistent. Watch this. Now, you know, they were going to choose somebody, and I want you to notice this. There was a major conflict in church. The widows were being neglected according to some. And the Bible says there was murmuring. The numbers had multiplied. Now, for you to see that, then the first conversion was 3,000. Right? Then we had 5,000. Now it got to a point where it was multitude. They couldn't, so you can imagine the church had grown. So imagine a problem like that. That had emerged. A huge issue had come up in the church. A huge issue. People were already complaining. You know, people go and meet at the car park and say, my auntie who is a widow, it's been 2 weeks. They gave her just one kokoro buns. She said, she just got kokoro buns, just one indomie. 1 month. That was imagined in a church that was so full of the Spirit. So don't be shocked when you have issues like this and say, with all I'm teaching them, kokoro buns. Then you are inexperienced. You can imagine after doing the series of teaching. Have you ever seen some people come to you and the kind of questions you ask? How do you do your doctrine? Sir, I want to just ask. Don't be annoyed, sir. Don't be annoyed. Someone told me, just my members came together and said, we want to ask a question. Don't be annoyed, sir. I hope we can ask this question. You know when they start saying like that, start praying in tongues. Under your breath. Sir, we don't want to offend you. But that fiber life you take after you are preaching, what is it for? Fiber life. He said he wondered. Ah. He said, sir, you know we are actually supposed to be anointed. Praise the Lord. So you have this. They had this big problem. The apostles would not leave the word of God and serve tables. Look at verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye among yourselves, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, that he says, full of wisdom. Wisdom. Whom we may appoint over this business. Wisdom. Now, so do you know that it's not just a byproduct of the others. In verse 10, they were speaking about the same person, Stephen. They were not able, Acts 6:10, to resist the wisdom with which he spake. The wisdom. Hallelujah. The wisdom. Now, wisdom, when people see you having wisdom, it means you are a wise person. Wisdom is not information. Wisdom is the ability to handle situations. To handle circumstances. It's not just information. Wisdom. In the Greek, his word was sophos or sophia. Wisdom. Now, where is this coming from? In Luke's gospel, quick one. Luke's gospel, chapter 21 and verse 15. Luke's gospel, 21 and 15. Good enough. Luke wrote the same thing. Luke 21, 15. Verse 15, Luke 21. This is Jesus. I will give you a mouth. And what else? And wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or resist. Wisdom. A mouth. And a wisdom. Hallelujah. A mouth. That's why when they picked the seven, they saw their experience. A mouth and a wisdom. Now, wisdom is not just an insight. Wisdom is skill. A skill. Praise the Lord. One day like that, a friend of mine who was pastoring in the campus fellowship then, you know, I will never forget this instance because it's very practical. So, we were in the, well, we call it the pastor's lobby of the sort. So we were, so he now said, oh, something had happened in the auditorium. Then he said, who do I call? He said, oh, you know, I said, this person can handle this. He said, I don't need to tell him what to do. Just said, called him. Said, just said, oh, no problem, sir. And he went in. And I looked at it. There was such a communication. He went into the hall and handled the meeting so well. So I was supposed to preach. That's wisdom. It's practical. It's a skill. People will know if you are wise. You will have been seen in different circumstances. That's leadership. Wisdom. Hallelujah. The guy just went in and began to speak, did something. You know, there are some people like when I was a younger preacher, for example. I'm not going to, okay, let me share this. I've never shared this before, but I'm going to say it today. So, I was meant to lead prayer, right? So I led prayer. I won't tell you what year, but it's been a while. So I was meant to lead prayer. So they said, lead prayer for 30 minutes. So afterwards, the pastor will come up and speak. I didn't see the pastor. I just did my 30 minutes and I just put the mic down. That is inexperience. I just put the mic down and just went. So everybody was just looking. The point is, you know, if I let them, they're just praying in tongues. We're not even really praying in tongues, but we're praying. I'm giving an idea, but you will never guess. And we're praying, and if I just say, let's keep praying, and I went, they'll still keep praying. I just say, in Jesus' name, amen. So I went back there. So people were just watching. What's going on? That is inexperience. Because I was used to the pastor being available, or the leader being available to hand over the microphone. So the moment that happened, I don't know. That's lack of wisdom. Now I will never do that. Oh, I shouldn't do that. There is that skillfulness. But if you ask them, what happened? But you told me 30 minutes. And I did 30 minutes. You know, say, you know, what did I do wrong now? But I laid for 30 minutes. Inexperience. There are some guys who hear something. You know, when I was younger, I saw someone who just began to have some attitude. And then he'll be reacting negatively, like a mental case. I was scared. I was so scared because the fellow was living close by. He would come to church, give us books. Then he saw him react badly. Then the sister, I think, said, oh, what are you giving my brother that he's acting like this? I began to think. See, demons we cast out. They enter, you know, inexperienced. So, the same thing now happened again. You get it? Because a lot of people like to look for somebody to blame. I now laughed. I said, no. I was now used to it. I had seen it before. So the father called. He said, his son said, I said, you cannot. Let me use your word, charaz me. Are you saying your son wasn't having this before? He said, not like this. Because I know. So when another guy who was younger recently said, Pastor, there's this brother in our church. He said, I don't know what to do. I now started laughing. He was wondering why I was laughing. I thought about myself at this stage. I said, this is what you are going to do. You are going to do this. And do that, and do that. He said, Pastor, I've not been eating for 3 days. He said, if you had called me the first day, you would have been eating. So he said, yeah. He said, Daddy, you are laughing. It's not really funny like that. I said, it's funny because I'm looking at myself in your shoes years ago. Now, it's something I've done before. So it's skill. You know, some guys will have left the ministry for that. Eh? People are behaving like that in the work of the ministry. I don't think I'm called. And they will never be wise. They will have insight who you are in Christ. The host of heaven. Insight. Heavenlies. Huranios. Eporanios. Oh yeah. Uranios has come. You now be Ironos. So I have wisdom. You say you have a wisdom. Jesus said that. You will have wisdom. Why was there so much emphasis on wisdom? Look at Colossians in chapter 4. Are you here? Colossians chapter 4. With our elders, we pray for us that we would open, God open to us the door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Paul is speaking here. Let's take verse 4 together. That I may make it, that I may make it manifest, as I ought to. Let's take verse 5 together. Walk in wisdom. Hallelujah. Say, I walk in wisdom. Wisdom is required in leadership. I walk in wisdom. Now, there's a man in the Bible. You know, we've done the study already that a king is a pastor, right? Are we good? Okay. Now, there's a man in the Bible, you know him, by the name of Solomon, who was given responsibility over the nation of Israel. Solomon. In 1 Kings. Are you in church? 1 Kings. We're also in 2 Chronicles, but 1 Kings first. 1 Kings and chapter 3. Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Okay, so now he was in Gibeon, verse 5, in a dream praying, and God asked him, what shall I give you? I won't lie, if you ask me today, what shall I give you? Figures. Sometimes you think that's all you need. If our church, if our fellowship can just have money to get that venue, if we can just have money, you know, you say, forget our own boss. You think that's really what you need? If you have a lot of money. I know a guy like that. He thought his problem was to get a very good venue. So he raised a lot of money, bought it from America. And he got the venue well for church. Was not offering people food. Food, they'll give them breakfast, lunch. If they could wait a bit, they could get dinner. Offering, you know, but he spent money, said, the church is not growing. I said, why? He said, I've been spending all the money. We've given them breakfast, but these people are not staying. Nobody lives in a restaurant. That's what I told him. You have a food joint. So they will come, eat, and go. You don't stay long in an eatery, they'll say, you want to wash plates? You have to go. He thought, just have money. If you have money, just build something. There are people who have built church buildings, and there's nobody there. There are those who have buses, and they are carrying angels. Where you see the church building is an innumerable company of angels. The church is more invisible than it's visible. Never think that is the first thing you need. Are you here? Thou hast shown unto thy servant, look at it, verse 6. David, my father, great mercy according to his walk before thee, truth and righteousness and upright of heart with thee, and thou hast kept him his greatness, great kindness, sorry. This great kindness that thou hast given a son to sit on his throne. Then he said in 7, O Lord my God, you have made thy servant David the king instead of my father, and I am but a little child. Oh, praise the Lord. He said, I know not how to go out or come in. Thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which you have chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Let's take verse 9 together. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Hallelujah. Are you here? And the Lord asked, was pleased that Solomon had asked this thing, verse 11. He said, because you have asked and has not asked for thyself long life, riches for thyself, life of your enemies, but you have asked for understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Now, was there anything strange in what he asked? Was there anything strange? This has a pattern. Notice what he said. Wisdom to judge between good and bad. To judge between your people. To handle circumstances. That's what he asked for. Hallelujah. Wisdom. To look at issues properly. The Hebrew word for this word wisdom is skillfulness. Skillfulness. To handle real life situations. Skillfulness. You can call it also a deftness. D-E-F-T. A deftness. You can call it an astuteness in issues. Notice what he said. I am a child. Give me wisdom to judge your people, to lead, to discern. Because there are things that will happen to you in leadership that you will not see clearly. But there's wisdom to see it. Hallelujah. Now, in 2 Chronicles, quick one. 2 Chronicles. No, 1 Kings. Let me just leave the 2 Chronicles example. 1 Kings. I'm going to read chapter 4. No, chapter 3. And verse 16. And there came two women, they were harlots, unto the king and stood before him. The one woman said, "Oh my lord, I and this woman dwell in one house. I was delivered of a child with her in the house. Came to pass the third day after I was delivered, this woman was delivered also. And they were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while that handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, she said, behold, it was dead. But when I considered it in the morning, because behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. The other woman said, nay, but the living is my son. The dead is thy son. And said this, no, but the dead is thy son. The living is my son. Thus they spoke before the king. They were arguing. Then said the king, the one said, this is my son that lives. Thy son is dead. The other said, no, but thy son is dead, but my son lives. Then the king said, bring me a sword. Now, this is not that he saw a vision where you have a divine revelation. In fact, let's even assume he had a divine revelation. And he said, I saw you go bury your child. You know, people would still wonder, well, maybe the other woman is his cousin. Something like that. So he said, okay, no problem. Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king, and the king said, divide the child, living child into two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was to the king. The writer already knew. For Boaz yearned upon her son. She said, oh my lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. The king answered and said, give her the living child in no wise state. She is the mother thereof. Let's take 28 together. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged. And they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him. To what? He didn't go to Israel and say, guys, you know, last night I prayed and God gave me wisdom. He used it. He was able to discern. He was able to make proper judgment in difficult situations. Wisdom. And all Israel knew, which means when you are wise, you will know. It's not in quoting scriptures. It's not in preaching. Preaching shows it, no doubt. But it shows in how you handle situations. Hallelujah. That's why they knew that the seven had wisdom. They had seen them. They had seen the word of God work in their life. They had seen how they handle situations. In Genesis chapter 41. There was a man by the name of Joseph. You must have heard about him too. You know him well. Who interpreted the king's dream. And when he did, in verse 32, says, for that dream was doubled into Pharaoh twice, is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. That's given a divine revelation, so which is a gift of the Spirit, as we call it today. Look at the next statement. Now, 33. Let Pharaoh look for a man who is able to pray in the Spirit. No. Who is discreet. He's discreet and he's wise. Hallelujah. He's discreet and he's wise. The word discreet is the word bin, B-I-Y-N, in the Hebrew. It means someone who is intelligent. Who is intelligent. Then it says, who is wise? Which is the, call it the adjective of the word wisdom. The Hebrew is the word chakam. A skillful person. C-H-A-K-M. Skillful. Now, the skillfulness is not knowledge. Is working knowledge. Now, observe what he's talking about. A fellow who is intelligent, who has working knowledge. Pharaoh said, upon officers, it went on. Pharaoh now said to him in 38, can we find such a man as this? A man in whom the Spirit of God is. Then he says, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there's none as discreet, verse 39, and as wise as thou art. Where did he get? You know, Joseph did not just give him the revelation. Don't get it wrong. He showed him what the problem was. But you see, anybody can spot problems. But this was a revelation, no doubt. He gave the solution. He said, this dream shows a problem. There will be plenty. And then he says, there will be famine. So what you need to do, appoint officers over the land, take up the fifth part of the land of in the seventh 20 years. Then he now gave him something he had done in Potiphar's house and in the prison. So you are going to take what you have. Save it. Keep a part of it. He says, so then 36, the food shall be for to store. Now what he said here was not in the dream. What he said here was discreet, discretion. Solomon knew by, Pharaoh knew by the response he gave, this man is wise, he's smart. He knows the solution. He saw the problem by the Spirit, but he gave the solution by wisdom. Are you here? See, I have wisdom. Praise the Lord. Wisdom to lead people. You need not just knowledge in leading others. When it comes to leading human beings, believers, a lot of skillfulness is required. Wisdom. I'm talking about worldly wisdom now. The wisdom of God. In Numbers. Numbers 27. God spoke to Moses to lay hands on a man called Joshua. And he did. In verse 18, and the Lord said to Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit. Notice that was what we heard about Joseph, in whom is the spirit, and lay your hand upon him. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. We read in Genesis 41, 38, a man in whom is the spirit. But look at Deuteronomy 34 and verse 9. Praise the Lord. He now says, let's take it together. Deuteronomy 34 verse 9. Let's go. And Joshua, are you here? Let's go. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him. Come on. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him as, they listened to him. Why would they listen to him? Was able to lead them, judge, handle situations, provide solutions. He got wisdom. In Joshua 1:8, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Thou shalt meditate day and night and observe to do all that is in therein. Then he says, you will make your way prosperous. Now that last word, you will have good success. The word success is not in the Hebrew. It's you will have good. It means you will deal wisely. That's the Hebrew there. You will deal wisely. Why would he need to deal wisely? Because he's leading people. Why would he need to deal wisely? He's leading people. To lead men like you, born again people, requires wisdom. Wisdom. That's why you cannot be inexperienced. To lead men like you requires wisdom. Wisdom will mean you'll handle different circumstances. Different situations, complexities. Anyone can cram something and do it. It takes a man of wisdom to handle even the unexpected, the unsolicited form. He's able to handle it in wisdom. In marriage, as a husband, as a wife. You also have wisdom. You need wisdom to lead people, to guide children. Wisdom. Through their different seasons of life. Wisdom. In an organization that you lead. Wisdom. We're going to see it in practical science now. Are you here? Wisdom. Remember? So wisdom is a skill. Wisdom is not just information. It's a skill, a practical use of information where you have a real-time practice of what you know. Wisdom. Wisdom is when knowledge is tested. Wisdom is when knowledge is put to work. Wisdom becomes your experience, or can be gained from your experience. If Solomon had said, "Oh, I have wisdom, I have wisdom," and there was no problem that came before him, we won't believe him, even if he said it 20 times over. It deals with life, life's issues. You need wisdom to handle people. Praise the Lord. You know, there are people today, and I know that won't happen to you, that God will send people their way, but they will foolishly send them away. Many times they can't recognize it. When you see people who are able to raise others into leadership, it takes wisdom to lead them, to guide people through different phases of their lives. Sometimes when I'm talking to the pastors, your leaders, then I tell them, look, we can't do this the way we did it years back. I use a phrase for them. It's a Yoruba phrase. That is, there's a presumption that at this stage, you have wisdom and experience. It will show in how you react. Hey, hey, what's happening? Wisdom. There are people that God will send your way. There are circumstances that are meant to deepen your leadership so that what you have in your spirit, what you know from the word of God, you are now putting to practice. You see, it's more than just saying nice things. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Have you seen sometimes somebody will ask you, maybe a younger minister will call you, and they are really jittery, and you smile. You say, don't do it like that. Do this one. Someone called me a couple of days back. He was really, 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 really upset. He was shaking, sir, I'm really, said, can I send a voice note? I said, send a voice note. In fact, that same day I read 4 voice notes from 4 different people. That's the latest thing now. You won't spend your money. Just send voice notes. And all the 4 were younger pastors. So I took one after the other. I don't know how to do voice notes. I said, I'll call you. So I called each of them. One of them that was remarkable, he said, he said, sir, I don't know whether, you know, I'm singing in church. I said, and he was talking about something that can divide heaven. He said, somebody fell in love with somebody. That one can divide the host of heaven. She said, I'm just thinking, sir. I said, you know, I posted something. I said, people will do what they want to do no matter what you do. It was in that conversation that I got that phrase. I said, oh boy, I gave him advice. Wisdom. I said, you will just kill yourself. She says, I'm just thinking. It's in our best interest. Are you Zenith Bank? In fact, I remember my partner said back then, he said, that thing looks like a threat in your best interest. I said, you don't kill yourself. He said, years ago, I would have been praying. I don't pray again. I said, you know, the Bible talks about some incense of your prayers that go to heaven. This one doesn't leave the earth. Don't waste your time. I said, so what do I do? I said, pray for this person. Pray for them. You know, he was so glad. But I spoke to him out of wisdom. Wisdom that came from experience. Not too good experience. But has now become good for the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. He would have just been distracted. They'd be having meetings. Calling the sister into the middle. Talking. She say, I'm very sorry. Oh! There is no greater lamba. There is no greater. Say, I'm very sorry, sir. I've seen that scenario before. They put their hands together. They have your full attention. I said, don't do it. I said, you, and I told him something that I said, in every ministry, there'll be one person that will give you 1 million people's problem. I said, but I'd rather have 1 million people's problem than have one person become 1 million. I don't think you understand what I just said. One person can so make you engaged. We were sending you messages, calling you. So I still need to see you. I don't know. The time you ought to have spent with other people. I called someone. I try not to talk about this story because the person is going to hear me. But it's all right. I know you will not feel offended. The person said, I want to see you. I said, I don't want to see you. I would have said that years ago. I said, years before, because this happened years ago. I said, I don't want to see you. He said, sir, but I said, do you have your Bible there? Yeah. Turn to Mark 16, 15. Go into all the world. You see? Are you the world? Are you every creature? Let me face my mission on earth. The person is back. Amen. It doesn't mean I won't pray for you. But you see, wisdom is how to manage such circumstances. I didn't say I don't love you. No. So the guy said, thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. It comes from experience of living out the word of God that we teach in practical work of the ministry. Hallelujah. Are you there? Yet there'll be others who will bring situations before you and you have to solve it. Wisdom is knowing the difference. You'll have to solve it. Because sometimes in solving that situation, it leads to many lives being saved. It's knowing the difference. Because what I said now, someone say, oh, what it means that if anybody just demand, just, no, then you are not wise. Because a wise person does not make conclusions. A foolish person has just said, anytime you bring my tie issues before me, I just say, oh! You see, that's a foolish person who makes conclusions when you haven't made them. I purposely said what I said so that I can get your attention. So wisdom is not, we're not talking about, you know, there's something called Agbari. You're just using coni coni. No. We'll get to it in a moment. You need wisdom to lead. To lead people. Because human beings have different things. Different tendencies. Born again is the wisdom of God The wisdom of God that will make you lead them. Don't forget, it helps you to know the difference. Come to the moment. To also handle some difficult circumstances. Because there are some difficult circumstances that are meant to turn out for good if you are wise. They are meant to strengthen you if you are wise and have the right insight. This wisdom also has foresight and insight. That's number three. Number one, you can lead. You can solve difficult circumstantial problems. You can also provide foresight and insight. Number four, you can provide solutions. Are you here? Are you here? You cannot lead if you can't provide solutions. What is the solution? Drop your pens and hear me. Train yourself to know the solution or look for it. Train yourself. Everyone who works with me, whether in the business world, in the secular world, in different engagements, knows. I remember I was in a class group. So I said, they're all talking. I said, can I say something? And we're talking, we're about 14. Yeah, I was the 14th person. We're talking, and they said, can I say something? I said, Chris, go ahead. So what do we do? We're all Christian leaders. We can't come here and just murmur. So what do we do? Do you notice? I mean, that day, I said, was pin drop silence. So I said, I have what I can say here. That was 2021, this 23. And I said, let us go and pray. And let us get wisdom. We can't come here and complain. We can't come here, Mom. So what do we do? And one elderly man said, you really challenge our prayer life. I said, yes. We've all spoken, you know, this is, so what do we do? Hallelujah. Learn to always finish your conversations with the solutions. So number five, wisdom is to manage human tendencies. To manage human tendencies. Wisdom is to also manage the prosperity and growth of ministry. I pray for you. May you not waste your harvest. May you not be foolish with increase in the name of Jesus. May you not go from much to nothing. In the name of Jesus. Amen. May you not have an attitude that wastes your resources. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Sit down. Because there are people like that. I spoke to a young man. I said, but you, in the ministry, you had the fastest growing back then. Fellowship. You even planted another one in the same place. But things got into his head. I said, what happened? You were foolish. Because I'm going to talk about that before we leave. You must know how to handle fame. Fame. Know how to handle it. Fame is like blowing air into a balloon. It can go, boom, and that's all to it. Know how to handle it. So, the seventh one is how to handle time. When I say time, you see, stop writing. I'm going to say another thing to you. Let this sink into you. Know how to manage time. Don't be careless with time. It's a fool that thinks he has time for everything. That's a foolish person. Know how to handle time. Yorubas will say something. You cannot have a time that will never end. You can't. There's a time to go to school. There's a time to get the degree. There's a time to read. There's a time to do your, your revision. There's a time to sleep. Are you here? There's a time to wake up. Why do you have a wristwatch if you don't keep time? You could have asked people if it's just to know the time. What's the time? Oh, it's for, okay, it's four. It's so that you can keep time. Praise the Lord. Wisdom handles time. Now, there's a video I showed earlier today. Now, time could be calendar time, which means just like now, I'm looking at the time. Why? This is my fourth meeting today. I have two more. Now, I can't use every time here. You get it? No, that's foolish. This is my fourth meeting today. And I'm going to have two more today. I'm looking at the time. Before I got in here, I knew the number of minutes I was going to use. I don't just look at my time when I'm preaching. I look at my time when I'm talking to people. I don't have time to waste. Are you here? Now, that's calendar time. Now there's also handling seasons of your life. Now, you know, earlier today I talked to us about our lives, business, marriage. That life is in seasons, right? A wise person manages each season. Life is in seasons. Now, let's watch that video again. Make sure they see it. I'm going to show you two. It's something wise. The one we showed earlier to me. Life is in seasons. It's a foolish person that does not prepare for it. There's a time you won't be this strong. Just recognize that quickly. There's a time, you see, all the please wait 1 minute. You are saying they give you opportunity. You know, there's a time. They will ask for, look at now, they ask for people for jobs. The age they will count. They will ask for. Is the age you had before you got born again? That means that time has gone. There was a time it was MCSC. Now you can't even use that one to be a clerk. There's a time. You don't waste the seasons. There'll be a time the business is blooming, will go downward. Are you planning for another season? That's wisdom. Are you here? Are you following what I'm saying? The people you are pastoring today, many of them are still on campus. They're going to leave the campus. Are you ready for that? They're going to have children, responsibilities, life's difficulties. Are you ready for that? Oh, you're saying that, well, the way you think about prayer meeting is in Unilag Chapel. You're not thinking. The way you call for vigil is like you're just talking about people who can just attend it at the drop of a hat. Are you thinking of pastoring a pilot? A doctor? Who has to be at work? 24/7 sometimes. Wisdom. Wisdom is also knowing the difference in members. This one, he is serving the Lord, is honest. But what he does for a living, and that's wisdom. You don't have to come on the pulpit and say, there are some of us, that's foolishness. What you give is wisdom to handle differences. Wisdom. Now look at this. Let's go. Can you show us now? Thank you. I showed you earlier. Inclusive volume, please. Let's go. I hope it's on live stream, Dan. All right. Go ahead.
The first son went in the winter.
Take it all over again. Take it all over again.
The third in summer, and the youngest son in the fall. When they had all been, that was a great distance away.
Take it again, please. Now this man.
The man who had four sons.
Yeah.
He wanted his sons to learn to not judge things too quickly. So he sent them each on a quest in turn to go and look at a pear tree that was a great distance away. The first son went in the winter, the second in the spring, the third in summer, and the youngest son in the fall. When they had all gone and come back, he called them together to describe what they had seen. The first son said that the tree was ugly, bent, and twisted. The second son said no. It was covered with green buds and full of promise. The third son disagreed. He said it was laden with blossoms that smelled so sweet and looked so beautiful. It was the most graceful thing he had ever seen. The last son disagreed with all of them. He said it was ripe and drooping with fruit, full of life and fulfillment. The man then explained to his sons that they were all right, because they had each seen but one season in the tree's life. He told them that you cannot judge a tree or a person by only one season, and that the essence of who they are and the pleasure, joy, and love that come from that life can only be measured at the end, when all the seasons are up. If you give up when it's winter, you will miss the promise of your spring, the beauty of your summer, the fulfillment of your fall. Don't judge life by one difficult season. Don't let the pain of one season destroy the joy of all the rest.
Does that make sense to you?
There was a man.
Which is wisdom. Knowing their seasons. Sometimes, what looks like a crisis situation is going to deepen yourself. It becomes an advantage later on if you handle it well. That is wisdom. Never expect life to have the same cycle. No. Tables will turn. Things will happen differently. But the wisdom of God will triumph over them. Hallelujah. So you have wisdom to lead people in different seasons. That's why Solomon said, I'm a child, which is be humble enough. I'm a child. Give me a heart to judge, to lead the people. Some things you would think is a mistake. Right? It's something else. It's discernment. Knowing what it is. And there's also a way. When you're mentoring people, there's a way to handle their errors. Because if you don't know how to handle their errors, you can't handle their future. Knowing how to handle errors. How things happen. Why they happen. Wisdom. I'm going to show you another video. Give us the second one. I call this leadership.
I remember that we were playing So What. Tony Williams was playing drums.
This is a bit of an American accent.
Wayne Shorter, saxophone. The music was on.
Do it again. Please.
Tony Williams was burning up his drums. Right in the middle of Miles' solo, when he was playing one of his amazing solos, I played the wrong chord. It sounded like a big mistake. And I did this, and I went, like this. And Miles paused, and then he played some notes that made my chord right. He made it correct. What I realize now is that Miles didn't hear it as a mistake. He felt it was his responsibility to find something that fit. That taught me a very big lesson about not only music, but about life. You know, we can look for the world to be as we would like it to be as individuals, you know, make it easy for me. But I think the important thing is that we grow. And the only way we can grow is to have a mind that's open enough to be able to accept, to experience situations as they are. Take whatever situation you have and make something constructive happen with it. That's what I learned from that situation with Miles.
You see that? So Miles was the leader. He saw the mistake, but he didn't see it as a mistake. He used it and brought a great tune out of it. That's leadership. A leader cannot become, what can we make out of this? What can we use this for? You know Miles Davis? He was the leader. The person who can see through and get the results out of what looks like a challenge or a problem. Guys, you are not just leading on the pulpit. You are leading people. You are leading them through different seasons, including your own life. Wisdom is being able to handle your own challenge as you help others through theirs. And not bringing yours to bear. You see someone say, well, I'm walking away. I have this problem in my marriage or something else happening in my job, my business and all that. Maybe I should abandon ministry for now. That's a foolish person. That challenge you face in your job is meant to make you a very wonderful and excellent leader. When people can see how you can handle circumstances of life, then you have led them well. Are you here? Knowing how to handle error, mistakes, turn it around for good. The wisdom of God and His leadership. Are you in church? You follow what I'm saying? How do I get wisdom? The wisdom of God, you receive them by the impartation of God's Spirit. We saw that. Jesus said, I'll give you a mouth and a wisdom. We saw that. Hands were laid on Joshua. Sometimes in the walk of the ministry. Thank God for the gifts of the Spirit working in our lives. But a good number of times when hands are laid on us, we receive wisdom in the name of Jesus to lead people well. But you know how that works? You have to be humble. I am but a child. I don't know how to lead your people without your wisdom. Because you cannot receive if you're not a child. Hands are laid. How else do we get wisdom? We get wisdom by meditating on the Word of God. On the Word of God. Joshua 1:8. Psalm 1 verse 1 to 3. As a leader, hold on, just look up. Let me say this again. You need to practice active meditation in the Word of God. I'm not saying you are thinking about your sermons. No. You are yes, that's a part of it, but you are meditating on the Word of God to handle life's issues, to become a wise leader. Hands are laid on you. You meditate upon the Word of God. How else? By observing. It's a foolish person that doesn't pay attention. Observe those who lead you. Observe them. Observe how they handle situations and circumstances. Observed. Like Joshua did. Observed Moses. Encoded Moses to the end of his life. But something else. He saw what happened in Numbers 13. And Numbers 14. He did not repeat it. He had observed well. You also get wisdom in the leading of the Spirit. Your ability to receive the leading of the Spirit is also wisdom. Laying on of hands by impartation. Meditating on the Word of God. Observing those who are ahead of you. And being led by the Spirit. Will give you wisdom to lead. You can't afford to be a foolish leader. I refuse to be a foolish leader. Who's a foolish leader? He can't handle circumstances. Can handle situations. Pastor, I don't think I can pastor. I told someone years ago, I said, you are going to come back and find out that you ran from the battle. You're going to find out. He said, well, I don't know. I said, you're going to find out. Are you running? Where are you running to? Become wise. And God will, the five people, 20, 30, He will bring people your way, preparing you for 1,000. He will bring 5 your way, preparing you for 5,000. You will waste them. In the name of Jesus. So you find yourself being tired. Oh, I don't know. I want to live my life. I want to live my life. There'll be one day, I told someone years back, if you're neglecting the call of God, you will look for it, you won't get it. You know, people that talk about the grace of God, they've ignored this part of it. I say, you look for it, you won't get it. You'll be going around circles. Because I know you're born of God. One day you want to do it, even if you are 60 years old. Why not ask God for wisdom? Oh, I'm trying to manage my marriage, my business, even my health. Why are you running? Ask God for wisdom. Pray. Sometimes your pastors will ask me, Pastor, I say, go and pray. Go and pray. Go and pray. God will tell you what to do. Hallelujah. Second thing about wisdom, I've been received wisdom. Number two, I must develop it. I must what? Develop it. I must what? Develop it. That means I must use it. I must develop it. Use it. Use it to handle money, fame, to handle different aspects of my life and seasons. To be temperate. To ensure there's no area of my life lagging behind the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Are you here? One of the things you know about a wise person. A wise person doesn't talk anyhow. A wise person doesn't talk about situations like a fool. You learn wisdom. Hallelujah. God has given you wisdom to lead the people under your care. And you will guide them into God's plan. You know, there are people that will use their hands to spoil everything they have done. Just their hands. Some anger. Some irrational, they're just irrational. You know, it's a foolish one that doesn't think through. Think it through. Think it very well. Some have wasted relationships. And they're now looking for true friends. True counsel. You know, if God gives you counsel through someone, and you diminish it or demean it, you will look for counsel, you won't get it. Because what you do not respect, you don't attract. You must recognize the place of wisdom in what you are doing to handle difficult situations, different circumstances and seasons, and different people. Hallelujah. I'll close by saying this. Wisdom makes our ministries to prosper. When I say prosper, I'm not talking about money. The money will come and we love money. We love money to be in our ministry. But I'm talking about the season we are coming into. Seasons of the extraordinary. Seasons of expansion. I told you that on Wednesday, right? Seasons to do the big thing. And I trust God that you have the capacity. You know, years ago, I was going to throw in the towel in the work of the ministry. I had a lot of dreams, a lot of plans. But got to a point, I said I wasn't doing the game. I gave up everything. I tried to do something stupid, didn't work, so I said I was going to run away. But I remember the Lord said to me, this was personal though, but I'll share it. I've said it before. He said, you were just not strong enough. So I had to go back and build strength in the word of God. Rather than blame somebody or blame people. You know, it's in human tendencies to find somebody to blame. If you don't blame your parents, you blame your spouse, you blame your friends, you blame your members, you blame your church, you blame everybody but yourself. That's a foolish person. So I said, Lord, give me strength and wisdom. You can't run. Why are you running? No matter what it is confronting you today in church, in ministry, receive God's wisdom to lead God's people through any circumstance, to guide them to growth, to lead them into God's plan. Don't run. How do I manage my different phases of my life? The wisdom of God will guide you. The wisdom of God. You know what Joseph did? He was able to help them manage the season of plenty and famine. Wisdom helps you in different seasons. You want to pray? Are you sure? You can pray. A leader cannot be foolish. A leader has to be wise. A leader cannot be foolish.